So we're doing some lead-up classes to Janmashtami. And the theme is entering Krishna's world. I don't know who decided on that, but it's a nice theme. It certainly got me thinking. So I chose a verse which relates to Krishna's birth. And it's also got some, for me, it's got some important information about how to enter into Krishna's world. So it's Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 19. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. Please repeat. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. In this verse, the word jnana kala is most significant. Knowledge is meant for distribution. Although there is already much scientific knowledge, whenever scientists or philosophers awaken to a particular type of knowledge, they try to distribute it throughout the world, for otherwise the knowledge gradually dries up and no one benefits from it. India has the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but unfortunately, for some reason or other, this sublime knowledge of the science of God was not distributed throughout the world, although it is meant for all of human society. Therefore, Krishna himself appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ordered all Indians to take up the cause of distributing the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world. Jara deka tare koho, Krishna upadesh, amara gyaya guru hoya tara idesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Majalila 7.1.2.8. Although India has the sublime knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Indians have not done their proper duty of distributing it. Now, therefore, the Krishna Consciousness Movement has been set up to distribute this knowledge as it is, without distortion. Although previously there were attempts to distribute the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, these attempts involved distortion and compromise with mundane knowledge. But now the Krishna Consciousness Movement, without mundane compromises, is distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is, and people are deriving the benefits of awakening to Krishna consciousness and becoming devotees of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the proper distribution of knowledge has begun, by which not only will the whole world benefit, but India's glory will be magnified in human society. Kamsa tried to arrest Krishna consciousness within his house, Bhojendra Gehi, with the result that Kamsa, with all his opulences, was later vanquished. Similarly, the real knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was being choked by unscrupulous Indian leaders, with the result that India's culture and knowledge of the Supreme were being lost. Now, however, because Krishna consciousness is spreading, the proper use of Bhagavad Gita is being attempted. Sadevaki sarvajaganivasa nivasabhuta nitarangnareji bhojendra gehekni shikevarutha sarasvati jnanakali yatasati. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. Om Ajnanate Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Hong Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangs Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parachana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangs Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So my thanks to the organizers for giving me the opportunity to speak, and I request the blessings of all the devotees so that I can hopefully say something that is inspiring and is Krishna conscious, it is bona fide philosophy, and please correct me if I deviate. I'll try my best not to. Entering into Krishna's world. I'm going to start with asking you a question, because when I heard this phrase, there was about five or six ideas came into my head. So I want to check with you, what do you think of when you think of this entering into Krishna's world? Now for me personally, I started focusing on how to enter into Krishna's world, and I had some answers on that. But I'd just like to ask you, what do you think of, what does it mean, entering into Krishna's world? What's the first thing that comes into your head?
I heard, I forget where, but I heard one devotee say that we're bringing, you know, the mentality for a lot of us, including myself, is you bring Krishna into your world. You know, you have a bit of Krishna in your world. You know that he fits into your program, but really it should be the opposite way around. You know, entering into Krishna world is being that everything is, you know, about Krishna in our lives. And, you know, Prabhupada says that we should be fully immersed in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
Like for neophytes, he recommends, you know, neophyte devotees that, you know, hearing and chanting should be a constant thing.
Thank you very much. And I'm really glad you said that, because that was one of the things that I thought of. I thought of entering into Krishna's world means Krishna entering into my world. If Krishna enters into my world, then I've already entered into his world. And if Krishna has not entered my world, then I've yet to enter into his world. And of course, you've added the extra point that we have to make that endeavor as well. Vishal Prabhu.
I was just thinking, like, how Krishna sees the world.
Yes.
Yeah. From his point of view.
Yes, it's all about point of view. And I was thinking, that's what I was thinking as well. And there's some verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that relate to this. Admendriya Prativancha Taribolikam Krishnendriya Priticha Dori Premanam. Prema means seeing things from Krishna's perspective. In other words, dedicating ourselves to Krishna's happiness, whereas kama or lust means doing things for our own happiness. So our mindset, it's all about mindset. If you're in the spiritual world, it means you're doing everything for Krishna's happiness. And if you're in the material world, there's a reason for that. It's because you don't want to do things for Krishna's happiness. You want to do it for our own happiness. So our own happiness is our obstacle. Krishna's happiness is our way of becoming pure, dedicating our lives to Krishna's happiness. And famously, Radharani says, if my unhappiness is Krishna's happiness, then my unhappiness is my greatest happiness. Or Atma Sukha Dukhi Gopira Nahika Vichar. For the gopis, there is no consideration of personal happiness and distress, because everything is for the benefit of Krishna. Rupam Prabhu, Haribol. We're doing well here. I had about five answers, and two answers are already very much connected. I'm glad I'm thinking on the same lines as everyone else.
I was thinking, when you're saying entering into Krishna's world, along the similar lines of everyone else, that by pleasing Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, we get an entrance into Krishna's world. And they want that in every town and village that the holy names are sung. Mm-hmm. And that's very pleasing. And by doing that, one will get a taste for Krishna consciousness and want to understand more about Krishna and enter his world. So the conception of trying to make a sacrifice to please Lord Chaitanya allows someone to, and our acharyas, obviously, who taught us that, then we can enter into Krishna's world.
Thank you. That was another answer I had. Because we know that in order to enter into Krishna's world, we have to go through Lord Chaitanya. Now, to go through Lord Chaitanya, we have to go through Lord Nityananda. Heno nitai bini bayarada Krishna pai tinai. Yeah. So, of the Guru. So we have to go through the Guru. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadam nagati kutopi.
I was thinking how in Vrindavan everything is centered around what does Krishna want, what will make Krishna happy. So similarly, like entering that world is thinking in my life, how can I just see Krishna's plan in this and surrender to that? And
how can I see what?
Krishna's plan and what, yes, Krishna wants me to, and just surrender to that. Mm-hmm. That's how I would see entering Krishna's world.
Yes. We have this very deep-seated disease. We see the world exists for us, but actually the world is existing for Krishna. And we revolve, if we go with Krishna's flow, everything will be nicely arranged for us.
I was also thinking, based on what's already been said, so we've gone from Lord Chaitanya to Nityananda to Guru, and Krishna's entering Krishna's world through the devotees and pleasing the devotees. We serve each other, like in Vrindavan, as you said. The gopis are surrounding Krishna, but then they are supported by manjaris, they are supported by so many devotees. So if we please and serve devotees, you know, ultimately we serve, mm-hmm, Krishna and enter into his world.
Devotee seva. Vaishnava seva is even more potent than sevas to Krishna. Now, we were talking here about this then, Lord Nityananda. We're talking to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and the Guru. We missed out, there's another one, Advaitacharya. So it's Doyakoro Sitapati Advaita Gosai Tava Kripa Boli Pai Chaitanya Nitai. So to get Chaitanya Nitai, we need the mercy of Advaitacharya. So we cannot skip anyone here. Prabhuji.
Yeah, so I randomly read somewhere that a verse where Krishna was telling Narad Muni that he does not reside in Vrindavan nor in the spiritual world, yeah, but he resides where his glories are recited. So okay, this is the spiritual world, yes, as Sankirtan is being done,
yeah,
so on.
He does reside in Vrindavan. It's not, he doesn't reside in Vaikuntha. Naham tishtami Vaikunti yoginam rida yeshuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatta tishtami narada. So whenever Krishna katha is taking place and whenever Krishna's names are being sung, then Krishna's present. And that's, now it's interesting that he's not in Vaikuntha. That means if he's not in Vaikuntha, who's not in Vaikuntha? Vaikuntha Krishna is in Vaikuntha, so we must be talking about Vrindavan Krishna. So Vrindavan Krishna is present where we're chanting with that conception. We discuss Krishna's pastimes, and we have that conception, and Krishna's present, so it's wonderful. And that was actually one of the other answers I was thinking. How to enter into Krishna's world, it's actually Shruti Vatanitam. It's a phrase in the Bhagavatam, which means the Shruti is, Shruti Vata is like air. It's the air of sound. Shruti Vata is air, the wind of sound. So when we recite the scriptures, we can actually experience Krishna. You can actually smell the lotus feet of Krishna by studying the scriptures. Shruti Vata Nitam, because Krishna, actual realization of Krishna is brought through the wind of the Vedas. So, and it's Shruti, it's hearing. So hearing is how we actually experience Krishna. So thank you. Someone else had a hand up. Oh, Cyrus Prabhuji. Do any of the Matajis want to say something? I don't want to. It's all Prabhuji's.
So when you mentioned that, what came to mind was very simple for me. How to enter into Krishna's world is if I can find myself relishing Krishna's pastimes, which is enlivening to the heart. Certainly, I'm in His world. Certainly, I'm in His world.
Thank you. Prayojana Prabhu. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, so when you brought this up, then there were actually two questions for me. So which one do you mean now? Do you mean like enter into this world like following sadhana bhakti, for example, like here and now where we are right now, or entering into the world by Raghunuga bhakti, or in the future, you know, when we really enter in the spiritual realm? Yes. So
thank you. Yes, that's what I'm going to talk about in the class. So you've hit one of my points as well. Thank you. Anyone else? Prayojana Prabhu, and then we'll have Srinivasji. Okay.
But it occurs to me, Krishna, he says he feels incomplete when we're not in his world. That actually, he wants us to enter into his world to complete his desire.
Thank you.
He feels incomplete when we're not with him. So he there is a verse that says that actually he longs to make creation again, to bring us back to him, so that to give us another chance to reunite for his satisfaction. To be with him, that's his fulfillment. That he wants us in such a way that our lives can complete his life. He wants to reunite with his parts and parcels.
So when we say to Krishna, "Please make me a resident," or we say to Srimati Tulsi Maharani, "Please make me a resident of Vrindavan," what are we thinking? Are we thinking, because that's what gives Krishna happiness.
Yeah.
And if you want, I'll just stay here and do your service here, yeah? Would that be right?
Yeah.
I've often wondered, why would we ask for residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham? Maybe we just want service, wherever we may be. But actually, one of our deepest desires is to have residence in Vrindavan, so it's part of our devotional service to express that. Srinivas Prabhuji.
Well, my understanding of entering Krishna's world is read Krishna book and you meditate on Krishna's pastimes. Prabhupada said if you just know Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book, then this will give you perfection.
Thank you. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakchamama Bhajanati, Yavanyas Chasmi Tattva Daha, Tatuman Chakvato Tattva, Vishadi Tadar Anantaram. Only by unalloyed devotional service can you know me as I am. And thus you can enter into my abode. That's my paraphrasing of the verse. So that's in 18th chapter. So Bhakchamam, by devotion only. There's one answer I didn't give. No one gave this answer. The answer is only by devotional service, right? If you want anything to get entrance into Krishna's world, there's only one way, bhakti-mam, by devotional service. Now, when Prabhupada translates this verse, he says, only by devotional service. And when I first started studying this, I thought, he's added that word, only. It's not there in the Sanskrit. But then I realized it's actually there by implication, because the phrase yavan yash, or yavan, as much as, indicates as much devotion as you have, that much you know Krishna. So if you know Krishna, if you know Krishna 50%, it means your devotion is 50%. So the amount you know Krishna is directly proportional to your devotion. That means, by implication, it's only by devotional service. Because if there was something else that gave you understanding of Krishna, then that would be, you could have, I know Krishna 60%, but my devotion is 50%. The other 10% came from somewhere else. But it doesn't come from somewhere else, because it's exactly according to our devotion. Therefore, only, little extra word only, is actually what the verse is saying, what it's implying. Rupam Prabhu. Mike, for the benefit of everyone online, if you're listening, Hare Krishna.
On that point, also, a Gyani and a Karmi, they can't enter into Drosha service because they're not serving Krishna.
Mm.
So only by devotional service. It's a starting point.
Jai. Gyani prayashamadupasya namanta eva. Give up the Gyan. Just hear. Jivanti sammukharitam bhavadiya vartam. If we hear Krishna's pastimes from the lips of the pure devotee, then we can enter into Krishna's pastimes. So yes. Now there's a verse, talking about entering, there's a verse in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if I can remember it. Bhaktasthvananyayo shakyo aham eva vido juna gyatum drashtum chatatvena pravishtum cha parantapa. And Krishna tells Arjuna, only by unalloyed devotional service can you know me as I am, standing before me, you can experience me, and you can enter into my mysteries. So I like this verse very much, because it's got three phrases. There's three different degrees of unknowing Krishna. There's gyatum, to know. Now, we may know him theoretically, or we may realize him. Drashtum, to see him. We may have some realization of him, but we may not actually see him face to face. That's a higher level. Drashtum, to actually experience Krishna face to face. And pravishtum, enter into the mystery of Krishna. So we know Krishna is unlimited, so entering into his mystery, that's for me what it means to enter into Krishna's world. Enter into that mystery. It's the other stuff we don't talk about. We've actually, in this Hare Krishna movement, we don't talk about it very much. We talk about knowledge. We study, and we have our Bhakti Shastra courses, etc. And we have darshan, and then we pray that we may also get a more deeper darshan, where we can actually experience the spiritual Satchitananda form of Krishna, because we may look at the deities and not experience Krishna as Satchitananda. We may not experience the life force. We may not experience Bhagavan himself. But we know theoretically this beautiful form is Krishna. I haven't realized it yet. But what about pravishtum, entering into the nature of Krishna? Krishna's got unlimited qualities, and we have them to a tiny fraction. Bindu bindu taya is what it said. We have Krishna's got 64 main qualities. He actually has unlimited qualities. And we have them bindu bindu taya, which means a drop of a drop of. So whenever we're attracted to anyone in this material world, we're attracted to a drop of Krishna. But if we don't have that realization of Krishna, then we're naturally going to direct our awe and reverence to someone else, whether it's a football star, a politician, a great scientist, or whatever. In the purport, Prabhupada's mentioning the scientist. It's interesting that recently there was a Guardian article that says there's a crisis in biology. Yes, this is good. You'll like this. There's a revolt. There are many, many biologists are now saying, you know what, this theory of evolution, we've studied it and we've tried to use it for so many years, and it's just not providing answers. So there's an increasingly large group of biologists are saying we need to look for a different theory. There's something wrong with our theory of evolution. They're not, just to clarify, they're not completely giving up the whole concept. They do believe in, for example, if you breed animals, breed of a certain type, you know, the genes get passed down. But as a theory of explaining why the species are here and how the one species evolves into another, they've said, well, it's just failed as a theory. So, you know, we're used to religionist criticizing Darwin's theory, but it gets even more better when the biologists are doing it as well, because now they're, you know, Prabhupada once said, this movement cannot be destroyed, it can only be destroyed from within, right? So I think it's the same with the community of biologists. They're very bullheaded, and you can't destroy them with arguments from scripture, but they can destroy themselves. So keep an eye on that, and hopefully there will be an overhaul of the theory of evolution. Something else will come up, something better, you know. Anyway, I was sitting just when we were chanting glorification of Prabhupada, I was looking at the peacock fan. Has anyone actually explained how that evolved from random mutations, how the beautiful pattern on the eyes on the peacock feather evolved? I mean, that would be quite amazing. How could just sort of random, you know, mutations lead to something as beautiful as that? It's very problematic, this theory of evolution. So let's go back to what Jagat Priya Mataji was saying. She was saying, well, are we talking here about sadhana or Raganuga Bhakti? Well, the thing is, to enter into Krishna's world, we have to have that desire. Now, last Monday, Srila Prabhupada gave class, and he said something which struck me very, very deeply. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And it was kind of humorous. Prabhupada was saying, if you desire, then you can go to the spiritual world. And if you don't desire, you can stay here. Now, it's interesting. It really is all about choice. There's nothing stopping us going to the spiritual world. There's nothing at all. So let's do an experiment. Let's suppose someone told you, you're going back to the spiritual world today. What's your first thought? Now, some people might think, well, that means I'm about to die. And I'm a scared to die. Plus, I haven't finished my business. I haven't written a will, for starters. I haven't got my children through education. Or some people are thinking, you know, I really wanted to get married, and I've not got married, so I don't want to go to the spiritual world right now. I want to get married. Or my career, I've just spent so much time studying just to get a good job, and I've just landed the best job, and now I'm leaving this world. So there's some other things come up. So that's the problem we have. We have other desires. They're there. So when we say, I want to go back to the spiritual world, it's a theoretical concept. It's not an actual desire. But the hard part is, for Krishna, he actually wants us to actually want to do it. So it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maeva mana adatsva, mai buddham naveshaya, niva shisha shimaivi, ata urdvam asangshaya. Just fix your mind upon me and engage your intelligence on me. Thus you will come to me without fail. This is Krishna's promise. And in the next verse, this is in chapter 8, he says, Ata chittam samadutam na shaknosi maistiram, abhyasa yoga yuktina mami chaptum dananjaya. He said, if you're unable to do that, then practice abhyasa yoga. And what does that mean? Anyone? What does abhyasa yoga mean? It means sadhana. So sadhana and mami chaptum dananjaya. O Dhananjay, then you will develop the desire to attain me. So Krishna here in the Bhagavad Gita is explaining why we do sadhana. It's to develop that desire. And we have this problem. I have this problem, and I know other people have it, because I seem to have the same problems as other people. So if I have it, I know that you have it too. And that's when you're attached to devotional service, but not for the right reasons. Now, I'll give you an example. I like chanting 16 rounds because they count. But after 16, it's different. I'm chanting, but it doesn't feel the same because I'm thinking, yeah, but it doesn't count. See, it's double benefit. The first 16, I'm doing my rounds and they count. Other ones, I'm doing rounds, but they don't count. So I have a different sort of concept. So that's known as niyama agraha. It means being attached to the rules for the sake of the rules and not for the purpose of attaining devotional service. If I were truly chanting for the right reason, then the other rounds would be for the purpose of coming in contact with Krishna. And I would understand that 16 is a minimum, you see. So that's niyam agraha. I was reflecting just a few days ago, when I discovered you can have Niyam agraha, which means not being attached, and niyam agraha, being overly attached. You can actually have both at the same time, because I have this problem as well. I don't chant my Gayatris on time. I have this problem. So I'm attached to the rules of chanting 16 rounds for the sake of it, and then I'm not attached to the rule of chanting my Gayatris on time. So one of them is niyama agraha, not following the rules properly. The other one's niyama agraha, being following the rules for the wrong reason. So these are two obstacles that we have to get rid of. And we should remember this stage, it's a very important phrase in the Bhagavad Gita. Mam ichaptum dananjaya. Sadhana is for the purpose of attaining Krishna. Now in the Nectar Devotion, verse number 8 in the purport, Krishna explains more about desire. Seva sadhaka rupena, siddhup rupena chatrahi, tadbhava lipsuna karya, braja lokanu sarataha. So now we're going to talk about what Jagat Priya Matadi was talking about. Raganuga Bhakti. This is a verse from the Nectar of Devotion, well, from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it explains Raganuga Bhakti. So seva, we all know the word seva, it's like the English word service. You just take the R out, service, seva, it's almost there. There are so many words, very similar. Samiti, someone said samiti, which means like a sangha. From there we get the word committee. I'm not sure if it's the case or not, but it's definitely plausible. But there are so many phrases. Danta means tooth. Then we get the word dentist. Pada means feet. So we have the pediatrician, you know. So, there are so many words. Anyway, so seva, which means service. Seva sadhaka rupena. So we have our sadhaka bodies, you know. That means we're not in the Gopi Bhav Club. We have to, if we want to be gopis, we just have our sadhaka form, you know. We don't need to dress up like a gopi if we want to be a gopi. But siddha rupena chatrahi. Internally, we have our siddha. So what's going on here is we're practicing sadhana, and at the same time, if we're fortunate, we're developing our spiritual form, which is our siddha rup. Siddha rupena chatrahi. The two are going side by side. So we do our sadhana, and internally, we develop a certain mood. And then tadbhava lipsuna karya, we desire the mood of the Brajbasis, braja lokanu tarataha, and we follow in the footsteps of them. So what does it mean to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan? Well, in the purport, Prabhupada explains the foremost examples of the five rasas. So who is the foremost example of the conjugal rasa? Madharani, the gopis. What is the gopis? And for Vatsalya Ras, who's the foremost devotee? Mother Yashoda, correct. And for Sakya Ras, who's the foremost? Subal, yeah. That's interesting. Well, maybe. Shridam, Subal. There are some examples, but Subal is the one that's given. And if you read Nectar Devotion, there's so much about Subal, and I'll tell you about Subal, because I like Subal. What about for Dasyaras? Raktak. Because we're talking about Vrindavan, we're going to park Arjuna and Hanuman to the side, and we're going to talk about Vrindavan. Raktak, Patrak, Chitrak, they're the three prominent ones, but Raktak is the prominent one. And for Shantaras, because it does exist in Vrindavan, don't be fooled otherwise. If someone says Shantaras doesn't exist in Vrindavan, it does exist to some extent. Any examples of Shantaras? The cows, yes, the cows, the trees. The stick, Krishna's carrying a stick. The flute, the flower garland on Krishna's neck, that's Shantaras as well. Ornaments, okay. There's so many. Sometimes the cows are said to be in Vatsalya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that. Prajnapu, yes. If you're listening online, hold on a second. Prajnapu is about to say something, and he's about to. We're going to give him the mic. Don't worry. Jai.
Prabhupada, when you talk about Shantaras and all those other things, but I remember in a lecture where he was getting right carried away, and he says, in Vrindavan, everyone loves Krishna. You know, the trees, the birds, you know, he didn't
he wasn't exclusive.
Exclusive.
He wasn't exclusive in any
inclusive,
way.
Okay, yes.
It was all inclusive.
All inclusive.
Everyone loves Krishna. And yes. Everything loves Krishna.
Well, I think Vrindavan trumps everything. So even if you're in Shantaras, if you're in Vrindavan, then wow, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, they're all happy with what they got.
Shukadeva Goswami, Bilva Mangal Thakur, the Four Kumaras, they're all examples of Shantaras. These are devotees in Shantaras. And Ruben's about to say something. Thank you.
Our acharyas are describing, just on Prajna's point, that everyone in Vrindavan, whichever rasa they're in, it's imbued with Madhura rasa as well.
Okay. Who says this? Our acharyas.
Acharyas are saying that.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for that. Thank you. Actually, Madhurya Ras, if you notice, if you read the Nectar of Devotion, you'll find in the sections on Shanta Ras, on Dasya Ras, on Vatsalya Ras, I'm not sure about Vatsalya Ras, they're all, the gopis are mentioned throughout. And we mentioned Raktak. Raktak's very prominent as a Dasya Bhakta, but he's very much connected with the gopis. You know that the gopis, he desires to be a maid servant. His dasya, he describes himself as a maid servant of the gopis. So his dasya, his service to Krishna, is to be the maid servant of the gopis, a maid servant. And we have the example of Bilva Mangal Thakur. He's mentioned in Shantaras, and there's one quote from him how he discusses the gopis. So, and Subal is very much part of the leela with Krishna and the gopis. Because when Krishna's playing with the cowherd boys, he sneaks off with some of his more confidential friends like Subal, and then they have certain rasa with the gopis. And it's actually, there's one description in Nectar Devotion about how one gopi starts weeping tears of ecstasy because she beholds Subal and Krishna standing next to each other, and she goes into ecstasy because they're so beautiful. One time, Srila Prabhupada was joking, and he asked, "Who's stronger, Balaram or Krishna?" So what answer did Prabhupada give? Krishna. Why? Because Balaram's leaning on Krishna, so Krishna's stronger. So likewise, Subal is leaning on Krishna. So if you want to lean on Krishna, you know, get into Sakya Rasa, and you can just lean on Krishna like he's your friend. Now, the monkeys, you know, the monkeys are servants of Lord Ram. They would never dare to touch Lord Ram with their feet. But the cowherd boys, they wrestle with Krishna and they just feel like they're one body. So you can, very intimate relationship with Krishna, you can kick Krishna, you can lean on him. The rasa is so strong. So this is Sakya Rasa. So let's talk about some of the rasas. Now, I mentioned the four Kumaras. They are an example of Shanta Rasa. So there's one beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which canto is it? The third canto? Tasya Ravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makarandava Yuhu Antargatas Vavivarena Chakaratisham Sankshobhyam Apira Aksharajusham Apichitatanvo. The four Kumaras who are Aksharajush, which means they're attached to the impersonal, when they smelt the beautiful fragrance of the tulsi leaves on Krishna's feet, then they became disturbed. Sankshobham, very disturbed. Chitatanvo, in the mind and in the body. So they experienced kind of bodily symptoms of disturbance and their mind became disturbed just by smelling the beautiful fragrance of tulsi. And I once, yes, pass the microphone to Dakshina.
Hi, Bill. Sorry, thank I you. Just wanted to say, Radhika Raman Prabhu, when he was giving class at the weekend, he quoted the same verse.
Okay.
And he said, actually, it's mixed with tulsi. So Krishna's feet have their own scent,
yes.
And the scent is mixed with tulsi. So
thank you.
Yeah, just wanted to add that.
Wonderful. So there's now that we're talking about this, I think it was one of Mahanidhi Swami's books. Anyway, there's a description. We asked the question, what does tulsi smell of? Because it doesn't seem to have a smell. But apparently, if we become pure in our senses, then the aroma of tulsi will manifest in our consciousness. So if you want to really know what Tulsi smells like, you have to become pure. It's one of those things, it's not manifest to the impure senses. Anyway, so this is an example of disturbance. The Akshara Jush means Brahmananda. We're attached to the impersonal feature, but then something happens. We get this appreciation, and it doesn't necessarily involve service. The four Kumaras, they're on the, you know, they're on the boundary of the spiritual world, but then the Shantaras, passive appreciation, can manifest in the form of appreciating Krishna's form, the fragrance of his body, the sound of his voice, the touch of his body, for example. If you can touch his body at Shantaras, we'll have to double check that one. But let's look at Dasya. So I mentioned Raktak, and I mentioned the peacock feather. So there's another example of a devotee going into ecstasy just by seeing the peacock feather. That's Raktak. So he's herding, he's doing his cow herding, and he's got his stick. That's his service. Then he sees a peacock feather. This is described in Nectar Devotion. And he just loses it. He loses it completely, and he stops his service. He closes his eyes, and he just becomes internally absorbed. Just because he's seen the peacock feather, and that reminds him of Krishna. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a similar pastime. Anyone know the pastime? Who went into ecstasy seeing a peacock feather? Or a peacock fan? Fan of... It was Mukunda Das, the physician. So, in those days, these exalted devotees were under Muslim rule. Of course, they're not under anyone's rule. They're under Krishna's rule. But they played the part of being under Muslim rule. So the Muslim king, Mukunda Das, he's fanning the king. And then the peacock feather, he reminds Mukunda of Krishna, and then he faints. And then the king asks, what's wrong? King's actually a nice king. He gets off his throne, and he sees to Mukunda, make sure he's okay. Are you okay? And what did he do? He made up an excuse. Sorry, I've got epilepsy. Lord Chaitanya, they said that about Lord Chaitanya, right? He has epilepsy. Because devotees, you know, they don't blow their own trumpet. You know, in this material world, if you've got any little thing you've got, you like to tell everyone about. I want to tell you my results at school. I want to tell you how good I scored a goal at football. You know, there's so many things. Devotees, they like to keep it all quiet. So he made up an excuse. I got epilepsy. But this Muslim king was too clever. He realized, no, you don't have epilepsy. You could tell you're very advanced spiritually in your path, and that's why you fainted, you see. So this is known as Udipana. Udipana means stimulus. And we want to be... It's just such a lovely state of consciousness. Imagine just a peacock feather makes you go into ecstasy. Now, Ayendra Prabhu, he gave a nice example. Now, some of us have the problem, you know, we're trying to practice Krishna consciousness, but then we see a pretty woman, or maybe the woman see a pretty man, and they get distracted. So Ayendra Prabhu said, you dovetail it, you connect it to the gopis, you think, okay, that's that beauty is ultimately a perverted reflection of the beauty of the gopis. So the gopis, they don't have lust. You know, when they read Krishna book, there's the throwing butter at each other, you know. So in this material world, we have the, forgive me for saying so, but we have the wet t-shirt competition. I won't go into it. If you don't know what it means, don't ask me. But in the spiritual world, all this is going on in a pure sense. There's all this throwing of butter. Everyone's got, the clothes are all wet, and the forms are all accentuated, but there's no lust. It's just part of Krishna's festival. And there's so much opulence. I mean, imagine being able to throw so much yogurt. It shows you how much opulence there is in Vrindavan. You know, we don't want to throw away. We don't want to waste yogurt. We can't, as a community, we can't provide enough ahimsa milk to provide the needs of our community. What to speak of provide the needs for the people at large. But in the spiritual world, where everything's centered around Krishna, there's so much yogurt, they can throw it around. It's just there. The cows are gushing milk, and there's so much yogurt being made, you see. So that's wonderful. So I mentioned Raktak, just to say Udipana, just by seeing the Krishna's feather. Let's talk about, I'm going to go through all the rasas, you see. Let's talk about Vatsalya Ras. Yes. Actually, I'll talk about Sakya next. There's certain aspects of Sakya are higher. If you look at, there's a very high ecstasy called Bhav, you know. Jaichi Icha Bhiksha Rasa Guda Kandasar Sarkara Sita Michari Utama Michari R. Prema's got different degrees. It's the seed, the seed of the sugar cane, the sugar cane stick itself, then there's the rust, the sugar cane juice. If you boil the juice down, you get molasses. Then you get candy. Then you get sugar candy. Then you get rock candy, a lozenge. These are the, there's nine phases of boiling down sugar cane. Starts off with a seed. Seed is sweet. Sweeter gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. This is compared to prema. There's bhava, preliminary love of God. Then there's prema, which is proper love of God. Sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. These are the phases of prema. They get more and more intense. So even mahabhav, there's certain aspects of mahabhav, even sakya ras, you can get it. Because they are so much connected with the conjugal ras that they are experiencing certain flavors of conjugal ras, even though they're cowherd boys, you see. But generally speaking, we see Vatsalya is higher than Sakya. So let's talk about Sakya. So Subal, I gave the example. Subal, he's leaning on Krishna, and the gopi sees this, and she's in ecstasy. She's in ecstasy to see the beautiful form of Subal and Krishna. So all the rasas are kind of mixed up. There's another example of Radharani. Radharani, she feels envy when she sees Subal with Krishna. This is a nectar devotion too. So what's the reason? Can anyone guess? Why would Radharani be envious of Subal? He gets to do something that she can't do. Okay, well, we're on the right lines. He gets to embrace Krishna in front of anyone and everyone, in front of seniors, like Nanda Maharaj. He can embrace Krishna in front of Nanda Maharaj, and Radharani has to look and go, I want to embrace Krishna too, but I can't because my superior's around. She has to do it in seclusion, private, you see. So she's experiencing tears of ecstasy. She's experiencing envy of Subal and Krishna. Subal gets to embrace Krishna in under any circumstance where she has to wait. She has to wait for the right moment, you see. So it's also said in... Now that we're talking about Radharani, let's talk about the conjugal ras. An example is given in Nectar Devotion, how Radharani, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, she's got her head in her hands and she's just crying day after day after day. She can't contain herself. And that's an example. Actually, there's different levels of separation. That's even given an example of Purvarag. Purvarag meaning preliminary separation. Rukmini is another example. In the Nectar Devotion, it's described that just as Rukmini, she's feeling separation from Krishna. Krishna can't sleep at night through separation from Rukmini. So both of them can't sleep at night because their love for each other is so strong. And that's an example of Purvarag, because Rukmini's never actually seen Krishna. So these are some of the examples given of conjugal rasa. And let's go back to Vatsalya. That's the only one we're missing. And then we'll close because it's now five minutes past. Vatsalya ras, as we mentioned, Yashoda Mai, everyone got the answer. Who's the most prominent example? Everyone knew the answer. Only Reuben got Raktak right. Everyone knew that Yashoda Mai, she's the emblem of Vatsalya Ras. Now, part of Vatsalya Ras is Palya Palaka Gyan. You have the notion that Krishna is Palya, he's the object of protection, and I am Palaka. Palaka means protector. So Yashoda Mai, she's thinking, I am protecting Krishna. So every morning, Krishna wakes up, she feeds Krishna, and then she puts these protective mantras all over Krishna's body. She decorates Krishna's face, she puts a talisman on his arms and so forth. And that's just what she does every day. And Palaka, or Palya Palaka Gyan, this is an aspect of Vatsalya Ras which is not present in Sakya. If you want to know why is Vatsalya Ras higher, because there's this notion of fragility and protection. So like one of the things about having, like some people have, you know, people like having babies because they're cute and their head flops around. So you've got to kind of hold them carefully so they don't hurt themselves. And the very kind of fragile nature of the baby, it brings out more love in the mother for the baby. The same with baby cats. You've got a kitten, little kitten. it's really cute, and so you feel like I'm protecting the kitten, right? Or little puppies, you know, everyone's got to have, you've got to have something. If you don't have a human baby, you're going to have to adopt from the animal kingdom. And you put a little lead on them and walk them and everything. But they're really nice when they're small. So that's there with Krishna. Krishna's simultaneously Koti Brahmanda Vigraha, which means all the universes emanate from his body, which is what today's verse is essentially saying. I'll go back to the verse. Sarva Jigan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta. Five words, it's a compound word, and it means Devaki. So anyone like to translate that? Sarva Jigan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta. Why is Nivasa here twice? Nivasa means the residence. So Devaki is Sarva Jigan Nivasa Nivasa Bhuta. What does it mean? Yeah. But they're all joined together with hyphens.
Is there a hyphen? Oh,
there's no hyphen. There should be a hyphen at the last Nivas on the first line. Anyway, I'll tell you what it means. Sarva Jigan Nivasa means Krishna is the residence of all universes. As I mentioned, Koti Brahmanda Vigraha, he's the embodiment of all, even Vishnu, all the universes emanate from the pores of Vishnu's body, so he's Sarva Jigan Nivasa too. But because he is now within the womb of Devaki, we add two extra words, Nivasa Bhuta. Nivasa Bhuta means Devaki is the residence of Krishna, who is Sarva Jigan Nivas. That's why there's two Nivasas. The first Nivas refers to Krishna as the residence of all the universes, and the second Nivas means Devaki is the residence of Krishna, because Devaki is in Krishna's womb. You see? And just before I finish, today's purport was very much about spreading Krishna consciousness, if you notice. Krishna, Prabhupada ties in this verse with Chaitanya Leela, and the connecting thread is the term Jnana Kala. Jnana Kala means someone who has knowledge that does not distribute it. So when I was asking, what does it mean to go to this, enter the spiritual world? There's one answer we didn't talk about. Well, Ruben almost touched on it. He said through Lord Chaitanya. Through Lord Chaitanya and service of Lord Chaitanya, which means distributing knowledge of Krishna consciousness. So we must distribute knowledge of Krishna consciousness because, as it says in the purport, if we don't distribute, then the knowledge will dry up, right? So our knowledge will dry up. And we see some devotees get really into devotional service. Then you find out later on, after several years, they're no longer practicing. They don't even follow even a little bit. It can happen to anyone and everyone. I've had my ups and downs. I used to be absorbed in certain things, and I've lost it. I've lost things. I'm going upwards in some ways, and some ways I'm going backwards. It's an uphill struggle. But anyway, we have to be tolerant to everyone and encouraging. But that's why, because we always have to remember, it's a privilege to be part of any spiritual community. You know this picture? Who's the picture? What's the sloka? The American that war, recruiting the war. No, American. There's a guy with a hat, and he says, "Do not." Yes, exactly. So that's the same with ISKCON. We don't think, what's ISKCON doing for me? What can I do for ISKCON? Right? That's a good attitude. And if we always keep that in mind, then we're more likely to benefit from the nectar which is going on in ISKCON, because there's two currents. There's the current of nectar, and then there's the other current. And according to our sincerity, we will tap into one or the other current, you see? So someone can walk in here today and say, it's really funny, I shouldn't laugh, but someone had some mental problems and he stood up in class several months ago and said, "You don't understand, I'm Lord Chaitanya, and you're eating too much, you should be out there spreading Krishna consciousness." Now, I wasn't there for it, but I thought it was kind of funny what he said. He was chastising everyone for not spreading Krishna consciousness, you know. So anyway, just depending on your consciousness, anyone can come to the Hare Krishna temple and you can actually have a wonderful experience or a not-so-wonderful experience. And if you have a not-so-wonderful experience, you might not come back again. But we should remember that you've actually been tricked. If you think, "I'm not going to come back again," you've actually been tricked. There's something wasn't right inside your sincerity. You weren't sincere enough, because Krishna doesn't kick people out who are sincere. If you decide not to get involved anymore, there's something, you're not actually pulling your weight. So we should also think, always think, what can I do for ISKCON? What can I do for the devotees? as Sankaran Priya said, serve the devotees. And if we do that, then we have a nice sweet experience and the sweetness of Krishna consciousness will manifest. Otherwise, we might be in another state of consciousness and we might leave and go off and become a Christian, which isn't so bad. But someone told me, they went to Reading and they told me, I met one of your godbrothers and he doesn't follow Krishna consciousness anymore. He's into Judeo-Christianity. He didn't say exactly what. And then he said to me, Mr. Devotee said to me, how is that possible? I said, well, one time Prabhupada asked, how is it possible to leave the spiritual world? Now, we're not going to talk about the philosophy here. I'm just going to say what Prabhupada said. And he gave an example of a rich man. He's in one of Prabhupada's darshan. He goes, because a rich man, he may end up on the street. A rich man's son may end up on the street, sleeping on the street. How did that happen? Well, it didn't happen. It happened bit by gradually, you know, just one step led to another. The same way, we can say, how did someone become a Christian or a Jew or something if they were a Hare Krishna? How could you do that? It's not conceivable as a jump, but step by step, it's very, very possible. And I'll leave you with that thought. Hare Krishna. Anyway, I thank you all for giving the class because I gave you the chance to speak and you were all very helpful and you gave so many nice answers. So thank you all for that. And final thing to say is, always remember, we were talking about preaching, always remember, Prabhupada said, but the highest principle is to save yourself, right? So the day's class, Mami Chaptan Dhananjanai, develop a desire to attain Krishna, okay? So even you can distribute so many books, but if you don't have a desire to attain Krishna, your position is not stable. Oh, we have Kishori Jani here. She's got this video. I once saw this video. I don't know if it was on Facebook or YouTube. And she was doing a kirtan in the back of a car with her children, and it went viral. It had millions of hits. How many millions is it on now? Is it on Facebook or YouTube? Facebook, okay. So that's wonderful. Millions of people are watching this video. But that doesn't mean she's going back to the spiritual world. She has to develop the desire, okay? Because it's not enough. I'm joking. Everyone pray to Kishori Jani. Haribol. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam Aki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Aki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi.